Please forgive me for preempting Thrive with Brad Bigney. My name is Todd Friel. I'm the executive director of Fortis Institute. We have the joy of producing Thrive, which is ranked in the top 3% of all podcasts worldwide. Why? Because, like you, I'm learning a ton from Brad. After 35 years of marriage, I listen to Thrive and I'm reminded of what marriage is all about and how to do it in a more God-glorifying way. If that describes your experience with this podcast, would you please consider supporting Fortis Institute as the year draws to a close? Super crucial giving season for us. It'll help us enter 2026 in a very healthy fashion and reach even more people and strengthen even more marriages. If you would kindly consider becoming a gospel partner, you can do that at fortisinstitute.org/donate.
Marriage is what brings us together today.
Marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
Always!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Bigney.
Oh, you're listening to Thrive. And I'm your host, Pastor Brad Bigney, and I've got my wife, Vicky, here with me.
I'm back.
Love it. And we're going to talk some more about what would it look like? Where would you even start to get unstuck? So often we're just stuck spinning our wheels in any area of life, but I see it in marriage a lot, and I don't just see it, I lived it. We were spinning our wheels. I was accelerating, pushing the pedal on what I already knew, and it just dug us deeper in the hole we were in. I was looking around and fixing my eyes on what I already knew or thought I could do, and it didn't change anything. But oh, how we thank God for the breakthrough that came. And it was His word. It was another person, a counselor, who spoke into our lives, but He used God's word. And so I hope you pick up on this, that we just keep turning to God's word, because God's word has the insights that we're missing and brings us components that we do not naturally already think about. And so here it is true with love, because I'm telling you, love is the oxygen that keeps marriage alive. And so you got to figure out, what are the things that choke out, that just choke out the oxygen of love? And that's why I think God's word in 1 Corinthians 13, that love chapter, is heavier on what it's not than what it is. Because God knows us and says, oh my goodness, I see this and this and this and this. Until you get those out of the way, those are choking out love. It doesn't matter how much you try to do some other things. And so listen to it again. 1 Corinthians 13:4, love is patient. It's kind. Now here we go with the chokers. Love does not envy, does not parade itself, is not puffed up or arrogant. And so we've been digging into, what does it look like? Because if you're not careful, you're like, well, I'm not puffed up, and nobody thinks I'm arrogant, including me. Well, pride has dozens of manifestations, ways that it manifests itself that might not be what you see in someone else, but it is what's happening in you. And so here's another one. Did you ever think about the fact that a lack of compassion is often rooted in pride? You realize compassion, the ability to feel for someone besides you, means that you have to be thinking about someone besides you.
Right.
And if you're not, if most of your thoughts are all clustered around you, you'll have zero compassion for anyone else.
Yeah. And I think, you know, often it's just like, when you're prideful, you're just thinking of yourself, my health, my hard job, my motorcycle, my physical appearance and how good I look or how I'm not looking good. You're not thinking of anyone but yourself and what's good for me, which is the exact opposite of what we're talking about.
Yeah. Because whether you come at this word compassion with sympathy or empathy, it means the ability to enter into someone else's world and feel for them. Now, I have to be honest, very often you just have to live life.
Yes.
And you'll grow in your ability to be compassionate. God is a very good God. You do not have to suffer in every way to be sympathetic and compassionate towards those who are hurting. I think you've heard Vicki and I say the struggles we've had in our marriage and the struggles we had parenting prodigals, whoo, taught us compassion. Mm-hmm. Now, I've not been through divorce. I've not faced drug addiction. I've not faced financial calamity. But I am more compassionate towards anyone in those situations because I have been shattered through prodigal kids and the shattering disappointment of my marriage, so that now I have the ability to feel for others. So sometimes I got to be honest, some of what keeps people from being compassionate, you haven't lived life long enough. You just haven't had enough hard things happen to you. Mm-hmm. But you could have hard things happen to you and still be very uncompassionate if you're very proud. It's just, so if you're right now thinking, Brad, like, honestly, you're either compassionate or you're not. I'm just not a compassionate person. Well, welcome to my world. That would have been Brad Bigney, right?
This babe? Is Brad Bigney.
Did you feel like you married a compassionate person?
That would be a hard no.
I mean, it just wasn't in my wheelhouse. That's just not, yikes.
Just not who he was.
And I mean, if you got hurt, I was going to laugh. That's funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean like, you know, right. tragically on the way to the hospital,
right.
but just everyday things still. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget just being so surprised and taken back by how offended Vicki was. If she ran into the dishwasher door because it was down, I didn't say, oh, honey, oh, are you, okay? I was like, that's going to leave a mark. That had to hurt. And she was
so very encouraging.
She was very offended. So, nah, it was not in my wheelhouse. If that is you, we go to God's word. Do you realize how often the Bible actually words things like this? Put on then.
It's a choice.
Yeah. It's a choice where you say, God, make me more of what I'm not.
Which is very freeing,
yes.
because once again, we've talked about this before. If we're talking to you about something that was not consistent in your home, or it wasn't a godly home, or your parents didn't have a great marriage, that's what the beauty of the gospel is. God's Holy Spirit in you can help you.
That's right.
Do these things to make changes in you, that you can put on some of these things and become a different person and have a different outcome than
that's right.
the home you grew up in.
I mean, if this was just some secular show, no Holy Spirit, no Bible, no God, no grace and power of the gospel, mm-hmm. then this would be a very different kind of show.
Yeah. I mean, you get a little bit of traction.
Who are you? Take a personality test. It is what it is. Labels.
Put some effort in.
You guys, the gospel is the most powerful change agent in the
right.
world. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, Romans 1:16, for it is the power of God. And so when you enter into Christianity and you say, oh, I put my faith in Christ, I am a child of God, daughter of the King, son of the King, then change is possible. It's not easy, but it is possible now because the power of the gospel and the Holy Spirit living in you. And so listen to what Colossians 3:12 says. Put on then as God's chosen one. So if you're a child of God, you're saved, you're a chosen one. Holy and beloved, top of his list, compassionate hearts, kindness. We dug into that a few shows ago. Humility, we're on it right now. Meekness, that is a companion to humility. Meekness is strength under control. So you might have some incredible strengths. Do you know how to control them and use them for good instead of destruction? And patience, bearing with one another. Put on. So it's just like he's worded this, and it's in the imperative. That verb is in the imperative. It means it's not an option. He calls you to walk towards the closet of God's wardrobe now and say, you know what? It's never been a part of who I am, but I'm reaching for the hanger of compassion, and I'm taking that garment, and I'm going to put it on.
And I think we even go a little further in Colossians 3, verse 14. You know, often when God repeats things in his word,
yeah.
it should signify to you, wow, this is very important. He goes on to say, and beyond all these things, and he says it again, put on love. And I like this part, which is the perfect bond of unity. Because, yeah. Wow, talk about, do you want to be unified with your spouse? Then love is the foundation of that.
Yeah. And so it's a choice. Love is not just a feeling. Oh, yes, there's plenty of feelings involved, but it starts with a choice. You can choose to love and you can choose to put on compassion and say, God, help me, help me. But this is not natural to me. But, and again, I hope you don't think in terms of, it's just all these new pieces that I'm trying to stick on my life, almost like on the outside, like stick it on, glue it on. No, no, no. We've said it to you before. It is the process of becoming. We are becoming someone else. All of us, regardless of personality and natural gifting, are to become more like Jesus. Was Jesus compassionate? Oh my. One of my favorite things to point out about our Savior, you guys, woo, lots of incredible characteristics. The number one emotion that gets described in the Gospels about our Savior is compassion. Right. Where it would say he stood above Jerusalem, and as he looked out at the people, it says he was moved. Moved. It's the Greek word splachna that meant to be moved on a gut level, was moved with compassion because he saw they were like scattered sheep without a shepherd.
So this isn't just for a woman thing. This is for men too. Yeah. Godly men.
So right there, I think Jesus splachna was the most manly man that ever walked this earth. Guys, hear me. And he was moved with compassion. So as you become more like Jesus, you should be able to extend compassion to your spouse no matter what personality type you have. Hey, we're going to take a break and then we're going to come back and push some more. What does it look like to clear off the table? Oxygen choking, love squelching components that we bring into marriage. Pride is one of the biggest and it shows up in dozens of ways.
And we will be back with more from Pastor Brad and Vicky in just a moment. You know, I was thinking about this the other day, but as a whole, we spend millions of dollars annually on marriage conferences and marriage retreats and marriage counseling even. And most marriages, they don't need these big mountaintop turnarounds. Most marriages are actually dying from paper cuts, not big massive wounds. It's death by a thousand little things, which is why I think the daily transformation Brad is talking about here, that daily choice to put on compassion, it can't be like a Sunday-only decision. And you know, that's where Fortis Plus comes in. And look, I know, well, here he is talking about their app. He's got to sell that somehow. No, listen to me for a second, if you will. Hear me out. We built Fortis Plus specifically for this very thing. When you're a little bit put out by the person you chose to live with, it's easier to have that compassion when you're filling yourself every single day with truth that you're going to find only on Fortis Plus. See, compassion is something that you put on, not because you feel it, but because Christ did it first. Download Fortis Plus to see exactly what I'm talking about. You can do that right now inside of your app store. And it's the app store that's either on your smartphone or even your smart TV, or you can just simply go to fortisplus.org. Did I mention it's free? Yeah, it's free. And I'm not talking about, hey, you download it and sign up for a free trial, take it for a test drive. Nope, that's not what it is. It is absolutely 100% free. And the reason that we're able to continue pumping out the content that we pump out every single day and keep everything absolutely free, it's because of people just like you. Gospel partners who have joined us in this mission to reaching people with the truth. Go to FortisInstitute.org right now because you can find out what it would look like exactly in your life to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. All right, now let's get back to Pastor Brad and Vicky. This is Thrive. Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
Welcome back. You're listening to Thrive. And we're talking about what God has to say. Not the afternoon talk shows, not your favorite radio show on the way to work, certainly not your popular radio station and songs, and certainly not romantic comedies. If you want to know how to keep love alive or how to, yea, verily ignite it. You might say it's died. It's died. We still have hope for you. I've said it before, but this sweet woman sitting here with me that now loves me looked at me and said,
This strong woman looked at me in
our trailer and said, I don't love you anymore. Wow. So I have hope for you guys. Do you love me now?
Oh, yes.
How much, baby? Let's take the rest of it now.
Let's do. Yes.
But we truly do.
Mm-hmm.
And we're friends and we enjoy each other. But you guys.
And we laugh together.
God did that. And are we still different, babe?
Very.
We are still.
It never ceases to amaze me how different we are.
It never ceases to amaze us still, the differences. And yet those differences don't have to be a war. God did something in us that he'd love to do in you. And we had to put on some things that we didn't have on. And so I read you the verse and hear it again, Colossians 3:12. Put on then, holy and beloved, God's chosen ones, compassionate hearts. We want you to think for a minute, a person who is not compassionate, lack of compassion, I just don't really care about other people's feelings. That's often a proud person.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the capacity to enter into others' feelings because it's all about them, baby.
Yeah, and I think I wanted to back it up a little bit. We're talking about a lack of compassion. So I think, obviously, we can ask God to help us in this area. But I think it kind of also comes down to when you come to know Christ, part of the sanctification process that we've been talking about is he wants us to change. And I think part of having that compassion for others is, first of all, you have to notice people. You have to notice those that God has placed sovereignly in your life.
Pride blinds you.
Right.
So do you even notice other people, let alone feel for them?
And I think Jesus, once again, was our greatest example. He noticed Zacchaeus up the tree. He noticed the woman at the well.
Well, even think about in the crowd. He was being thronged in the crowd.
It says, I love that story.
And he said, who touched me?
Mm-hmm.
And his disciples were like, Lord, look at the crowd. They're pressing all around you. And yet he cared about one woman who had been bleeding for 13 years and no doctor had been able to help her. And she'd spent all of her money and was no better. And Jesus cared. He noticed one woman in the crowd.
And I love his example for us is once again, he lives by example what he's asking us to do.
Yeah.
And this just, and I've talked about this before, but this was just such a game changer for me when I came to know Christ when I was a junior in high school, because it really gives you a purpose that there are people around me, and I believe that God has sovereignly placed us in the city we are, in the neighborhood we are. He's given us the spouse he's given us, the children. So it was just a wonderful purpose in life to think, wow, I want to...
An awakening to
notice people and either encourage them in their faith or somehow run it at the flagpole and somehow mention Jesus. Like, hey, I'll pray for you about that.
And then
or
I got to say, piggyback on that, in
Please
the kindness
do.
Of God, he gave Vicky Dill an awakening in South Georgia and then knew that he intended to have her marry Brad Bigney, who desperately needed an awakening. And so my similar awakening came a decade or more later, but it was from being married to her that you've heard me say before. It was just like a dawning, oh, there's people.
Mm-hmm.
There's people around
me. Imagine that.
Yes, there's people around me every day. But God had already done that in Vicky and brought her into my life in marriage to do it in my life. But instead, at first, I went to war. Focus on what she was not good at, and why aren't you like me, and why do you take so long in the store talking to people? And this was the very thing God meant to do for me.
Right. So I think it takes time. It takes time to notice people, but when we're noticing people, we're not just all about ourselves. And so I think that's helping break down that pride. You know, if you're a real estate agent selling real estate, you're not there just to show someone a house. You can trust that God has sovereignly brought this couple or this family into your life. And I just think that's so, that's just exciting to me to think we live on a mission. You know, it's just like we just moved into a new neighborhood. We don't want to exist in this neighborhood as the Lone Ranger. I mean, we want to get to know people. I mean, we write down people's names. We want to notice people around us because God has sovereignly placed people in our path that he might want us to minister to. Maybe so, maybe not, but I want to be open to that. But once again, it takes looking past what I want and my schedule and my agenda and thinking, let me notice the people, first of all, starting in your own home, your spouse, your children, your family. Some of us are so busy.
We are so sinful. You could live unaware of the people in your home.
So true.
Or live in a way that they are just in a very utilitarian way. They are simply tools that I use for my agenda.
Or just an inconvenience to you.
And that's going to come across. Because if those closest to you just feel like a tool or an inconvenience, then real love isn't being fostered.
As a believer, that just should not be.
No.
Yeah.
But it can happen.
Right.
I mean, here's the scary truth. I knew a lot of Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was finished with my undergrad degree, a 4-year Bible teaching degree, and I was in my last year of my MDiv, Master of Divinity with Hebrew and Greek, and yet I was this unloving in my marriage and this unaware of people. So hear me, knowledge alone doesn't fix this.
Right. And as you said before, intellect. Some of you, we're only given so much intellect, you know, whatever your IQ is, but God doesn't really, that's really not so big. In our society, that's a big thing, you know, are you part of the Mensa society or whatever? In God's economy, it's, no, do you have a heart and eyes for me and things I'm asking you to do? Then that's such a win. It's much more important than our skills or intellect.
God's scale on grading,
great point.
You know, effective life. There's an effective life.
Exactly, which I think we all want. We
the
all
scale,
do.
You just need to understand, and I had to get a hold of this, the scale he holds up every day. And it never changes generation to generation. Doesn't matter if it was chariots, now it's cars. Love God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your
neighbor.
Neighbor is yourself.
Right. I mean, it really does boil it down. Yeah.
It's love. Like, are you loving? So it doesn't matter. And then love, we've brought it out in the show many times, has to be love in action.
Right.
It's not, well, I feel some inside. Well, biblical love gets going. It has feet on it.
Right.
It moves in the home and it does certain things and it does not do certain other things.
And that's why I really like that we have this show and others with the Fortis Institute, because it's helping you kind of realign your thinking. Because if you're just gauging your success by what the world is gauging, you're just going to be really off key on this one. It's really not going to come up on the world's radar that you should notice people and love others. Yeah. You know,
I mean, it's just,
and it shouldn't all be about you. So that's why, once again, I just can't say it enough. Get yourself in a local body of believers that's teaching God's truth.
A church.
Right. So, and put yourself around people. Those should be some of your closest friends, like people that are on the same path as you, because this doesn't come natural to our flesh. Our society certainly doesn't promote it. But when we stand before Jesus, we do truly desire him to say, at least I do, and I think most of our listeners do too, well done, good and faithful servant.
Yeah.
Not perfectly, but when he shows me things, I want to hearken to that and listen to that and align my life with his truths, his ways, instead of just what my flesh wants or what the world's telling me. You're just going to be really far off base. And I don't want that to happen to me or any of you at the end of our lives.
It doesn't matter what you accomplish in this life, if you didn't love.
If you neglected
Starting those closest to you, then it's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Let me get you to hear again what God's word actually says about this, because it's strong. If I speak in the tongue of men and angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong, clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to move mountains,
I mean,
but
these
have
are all
not
really
love.
Important things.
Yeah.
Faith, you know.
But listen to this final phrase, because the if is if all that's happening, but not love, I am nothing.
Nothing.
That's how strongly the Bible says it. I'm nothing. And so what we're bringing you in these shows about love is critical. It's actually the deciding factor as to what you're going to hear from the Lord on that final day.
Which is very
simple. Not how much you accomplished, not how much you were noticed, not how big of a platform did you have, how many followers, how many likes, how much this, how much that. Did you love? Starting in the home, and if you're married, in that marriage, what would it look like to get the oxygen of love flowing? Well, you've got to put an end to the pride that's choking it out and start to spot it and recognize it and be killing it, consider, is your lack of compassion rooted in pride? And if you just say, I'm just not compassionate, that's okay. Go to Colossians 3:12 and say, Lord, show me how to put it on. Because my Savior did it for me, and He lives in me and would love to do it through me.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.